Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? It's your girl, Mika Luciano, here, and you're back with another episode of Henny Hookah and the Homies. Grab your Henny, light your hookah, and lock in with your homie. Now, today, it's just me. I'm in this bitch dolo, okay? But I'm not mad at that because, you know, sometimes I gotta give y'all just me. Mika Luciano, blow, you feel me? Shamika, you feel me? It's okay. Today's topic, I want to talk about getting cool. Let me get that hookah lit. You feel me? Y'all hear that shit? Period. Got the hookah lit. Got my drink pulled up. Y'all hear it? You feel me? Perp. I had a conversation with one of my real cool close brothers, right? And we was basically talking about transitioning from, you know, a move and how you gotta get, when you have a family and you have people depending on you, counting on you, how you gotta get them right. And he said something that struck me. He was like, you know, I gotta get them right, make sure they cool, then I gotta get cool and then figure out what's next for me. And that line, I gotta get cool, stuck with me because that is a part of our process where we gotta actually dive into our mental, make sure we good before we take on projects. And a lot of the times we don't do that because we think the projects is what's gonna help us get right mentally, but sometimes it be the other way around. We be struck by financial hardships. We be struck by progress, maybe identity crisis, maybe feeling like, you know, we have not accomplished what we needed to have been accomplished by the timelines that we set in our minds. And so it'll harp on us almost to the fact that we get a little impulsive and, you know, feel the pressure of needing to do shit. My hookah spiked too, so bear with me, y'all. But what if you dive into your mind, your mental, you focus on you and become grateful and appreciative of where you are first. And then that way, that journey to getting to where you want to be isn't so much pressure on you. And it actually becomes more enjoyable because you good either way. You know what I'm saying? You good mentally and you know what's coming to you. I feel like with my spiritual journey that I've been embarking on, I feel like I've had moments of great highs where I was like, my energy was just thriving through. My glow was just in my aura. You could just feel it in my walk, in my talk, my stance, my face, my smile, my embrace, like, it was just there. And it slowly started to dim down a little bit because I've been feeling the pressure of a lot of things. I got my hand in a lot of things right now. And I've really been feeling the pressure of, what if this don't go right? What if the plans don't work out? What if the outcome that I'm looking for don't be? What if I don't get the response that I was expecting? What if this? What if that? Even with starting this journey with this podcast, we 11 episodes in now, y'all. First of all, let's celebrate that shit, period. Gotta celebrate that shit, period. But even with me starting this podcast, like, I did a little bit of research. I looked at a couple of other podcasts. You know, I thought that I was well-versed, but I didn't have a marketing strategy. So now with me having Henny Hookah and the homies, I got to figure out who the homies are. And I've been doing good so far, but it's just like figuring out who's next. What guest am I having next? Optimizing my space. Now I'm looking for another location. Now I'm looking for other avenues so that I can have guests and host episodes remotely where I don't necessarily have to sit down in the same atmosphere with my guest, but can still reach other platforms because I got people in other states that want to be a part. And right now it's just not ideal to have people flued out. You know what I'm saying? I ain't checking the bag off the podcast like that right now to have people flued out and be a guest. But I do want to figure out a way to reach other markets and other locations. Even though my central focus was to share light on my network of people and, you know, the people I rub elbows with doing what I do, it's like I'm not opposed to reaching out and touching base with other people. But now there becomes a lot of fucking pressure with doing something like that. And it's like on top of the many other hats that I wear, I can't fail at this either. You done started some shit now. You feel me? Like, what the fuck? But it's like, in my mind, I'm trying to get myself back grounded and reset because I don't want to lose that momentum of this glow that I have in my aura, in my spirit. I don't want to lose that energy that I've been carrying, and I don't want it to be dimmed down or darkened by my insecurities and the pressures that I face. So the whole topic of getting cool is like, damn, that really stuck with me, because you can get cool, but then how the fuck do you stay cool?
They know I'm a fucking problem. Ain't no way they gon' solve it. Roll up, Ruger, tuck off them. Throw them, you first in the coffin.
They know I'm staying cool. I need a hospital. They want me to quit. I know everybody talking about Will Smith smacking the shit out of Chris Rock at the Oscars. Gotta sip that Henny real quick. But I feel like I know a lot of people got their opinions about the situation, and some people feel like it was staged. Some people are commending Will. Some people are disgusted. I'ma just say this. If you are in the limelight, especially in the comedic limelight, I don't know if Will Smith has ever done a stand-up comedy show. You know, he's really an artist. He's not even really a comedian, but he's a comedic actor. You gotta be able to stay cool, because not only are you already in the limelight, you put more of yourself in the limelight when you air out your business about what you're going through. You gotta expect people to poke fun at it, especially in comedy. Everybody knows the unspoken rule about comedy. If you got a comedian on stage hosting, you avoid that front row at all costs if you do not want to be the subject. Like, they gonna come for you. There's another thing about getting cool. You got to really, really get your mind right before you step out in the midst of people. You got to get yourself cool. You got to get yourself right, because no matter what somebody says, your aura, your spiritual being should have never broke you to the point that you did that to another black man on fucking the Oscars. And we're gonna see the light at the end of the tunnel real quick, because it definitely did gaslight his career. Definitely has made him probably the most famous person, you know what I'm saying? But it's not because, oh, he's such a great talent. It's because he was degraded. It's because as a black man standing on national television, he was slapped in the face, which is the narrative of our history as black people, especially in this country. So while to Will, it's like, we get you and we stand with you and, you know, we support you, we love you, but at the same token, you gotta see the depths of what that image was. It wasn't just about your wife. It was way bigger than that. And if you want to be a protector of your family, you got to look at your wife and you got to look at your brother standing on that stage. And you got to handle that shit different. But that's only when you have gotten cool. Will Smith is not cool. He's not okay. And instead of condemning him by the mistake that he made, let's try to figure out a way to turn it around. Let's make it a teachable moment, but not one that slanders yet another black man on the internet. One that doesn't make another black man a monster. He's not a monster. He's dealing with shit. He has shit. Just like I'm sure it's a lot of people in that audience that have shit. It's a lot of people in that audience that probably want to get on stage and slap the fuck out of somebody before too, being in the limelight. But the hat that he wears and the weight that he carries, I can only imagine how heavy that is. But now what you've done is you've put weight on another black man too. Imagine having to watch yourself get the shit slapped out of you over and over and over again. And then be a commendable black man because he took that slap, stayed 10 toes. Did you see him stay 10 toes? He buckled a little bit, but he stayed 10 toes. He kept his composure and he tried to push through. He stumbled on his words a little bit, but he tried to turn it around because he knows my brother dealing with something. And even though this wasn't right, what you did to me, I'm not going to meet you where you at. I'm going to try to keep it rolling and we can have a conversation about it later. So that's what we should shed light on. Learn something from that moment. The world slaps the fuck out of you. And Chris Rock was cool. He remained cool. Some shit that I would not be able to fucking do. You walk your ass on stage and you slap the fuck out of me on national television in privacy. I don't give a fuck. I don't know. I cannot say that I'd be able to do what Chris did. That takes some strength. That takes some poise, that takes some shit. And I know Chris ain't like that. He ain't never portrayed himself to be like that, you know, savage and shit. But it's just like, whether you savage or not, whether you like that or not, a motherfucker slap you, who first instinct is not to get defensive. He's still trying to crack jokes. I'm still trying to save face. I don't know. I gotta process this shit. Wait a minute. Then he said it's the greatest night in history because a black man got slapped on national TV. All I'm saying is, and we're not gonna make this a race thing, but we is gonna make this a race thing, because had it been anyone else on that stage of any different ethnic background, I think that they would have reacted first and asked questions later. But because it was two brothers, they had to think about it for a minute. Wait a second. Is this real? But if it was someone else, they would not have even questioned it. We talked about Bernie Mac. If Bernie Mac were still here. A, I don't know if Bernie Mac would have cracked that joke, because it was corny as fuck, first of all. It was a corny joke. But I know that Bernie Mac don't be giving a fuck what he say out his mouth, like a lot of comedians in the comedic world. And you know damn well you're not getting on stage slapping Bernie Mac or Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart little. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like with the repertoire that Chris Rock has, it made him an easy target to deflect all of that built up, pent up shit Will has been carrying. Not only have you been humiliated in the media, now you're in person, you're being humiliated live, all because of the reaction of your wife. Now, he tried. I saw him. He tried. It was an uncomfortable laugh. I've seen it. We all seen it. But he tried to, you know what I'm saying, chuck it off. Impulsively, he did what he thought the image of a protector would do. But if you read his book, you know he talked a lot about the image of his dad and how his dad was, you know. So there's a phrase that a wise man once said to me. He was like, When a man stumps his toe, the first words that come out of it will tell you who he truly is. Let that marinate for a minute. I'm gonna sip my motherfucker drink. But when a man stumps his toe, that's the first display of his characteristics before he can correct it to what he feels like he's supposed to be and what he should be. But no, that's in him. That slap come from a long line of shit that's in him that he still got to get out, that he still has to process, because his success ain't doing it. His success ain't getting that up off of him. And he says this in his book. Knowing this, though, let's meet him in the middle. Knowing all this shit that he's going through, his wife is going through, we just gonna leave that whole topic alone. So we gonna turn the other cheek. And we gonna crack jokes on somebody else. Somebody that ain't all blasted in the media everywhere. Let's do that. That's meeting him in the middle. And that's a decision that, you know, is not a requirement to make, but would have helped the situation. Because, again, we all fucking family and we need to look out for each other. It's comedy. You got to have a little thicker skin. We could say that shit all day long. My dad said, bullies aren't bulletproof. And that could be viewed as a form of bullying. And yeah, it's comedy, but that doesn't mean that it isn't toxic comedy. It doesn't mean that it's a healthy way of doing things. And you put that shit with a unhealthy mental state, you're gonna get a catastrophe. And that's just it. Talk about getting cool and staying cool to the point that your spiritual aura won't even let the negativity penetrate. Bringing it back to why we here, my hardworking entrepreneurs, it's like, what are we doing to proactively get cool and stay cool? A lot of us can't even get past the point of accountability. We can't sit down and say, damn, I'm controlling. Damn, I make excuses. Damn, I do this, I do that. Damn, I'm fucked up. Even look at a situation and say, instead of what this person is doing wrong or has done wrong to me, what am I doing wrong to myself? And also to others. How did I contribute to this? What can I do differently? How can I be better? But since it's just me, I gotta give y'all a I don't give a fuck moment, right? This is to all those people who feel like you should be on your best behavior no matter what. We don't give a fuck. On that note, I'll see y'all here next week, homies. All right. I'm out.